ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेशो नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय. This is Canto 10, Chapter 2, entitled Prayers by the Demigods, and today we're on text number 19. Please repeat.
Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta Nitaram Na Reje Bhojendragehe Agnishikha Eva Ruddha Saraswati Jnanakale Yatha Sati Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta Nitaram Nareje Bhojendragehe Agnishikhe Varuddha Saraswati Jnanakale Yatha Sati Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta Nitaram Nareje Bhojendragehe Agnishikhe Varuddha Saraswati Jnanakale Yatha Sati Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta Nitaram Nareje Bhojendragehe Agnishikhe Varuddha Saraswati Jnanakale Yatha Sati. Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa Vyasa Bhutam Nitaram Nareje Bhojendragehe Agnishikhe Varuddha Saraswati Jnanakale Yatha Sati.
Sarasvati jnana kale yathasati. Ladies. Sa devaki sarva jagannivas. Nivasa bhuta nitaram nareje. Bhojendragehe gnishikhe varuddha. Sarasvati jnana khale yathasati. Sa Devaki, that Devaki Devi. Sarva Jagat Nivasa, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sustainer of all the universes. Matsthani Sarva Bhutani. Anybody know that verse? Chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita. What does it mean? Actually, Matsthani Sarva Bhutani means all living entities are situated in him. He makes that irony. He says, although everything is in me, I'm not in everything. Prabhupada has chosen to put it here in the word for word. Nivasa Bhuta. The womb of Devaki has now become the residence. Nitaram, extensively. Na, not. Reje, became illuminated. Bhojendragehe, within the limits of the house of Kamsa. Agnishikha, Iva, like the flames of a fire. Ruddha, covered. Saraswati, knowledge. Jnanakale, in a person known as Jnanakala. One who possesses knowledge, but cannot distribute it. Yatha, or just as, sati, so being. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot. Or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Please repeat. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot. Or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Now, I'm going to tell you what everyone else says about this verse before I tell you what before we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, because something Krishna says in Canto 11 of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that every truth is contextual. Everything depends on its context. And I think that if we look at what the predecessor acharyas have said about this verse, it provides us a better sense of context with which to process what we hear from Srila Prabhupada. So please pardon me for that. First of all, sarva jagat nivasa nivasa bhuta devaki. Devaki became the residence of that person who is the residence of the entire cosmic manifestation. That's what it means. But nitaram nareje, she was not able to shine completely. Why? Bhojendragehe agnishikheva ruddha. She was like, in the house of Kamsa, Bhojendra, Bhojaraj, that's Kamsa, king of the Bhojas, she was like a covered flame. Agni Shikha. What does Shikha mean? The men who shave their heads, they have a Shikha in the back. Flag, Prabhupada used to say. It actually means a point. That's why the tower of a temple is called Shikhara. Same, or a mountain peak is called Shikhara. The point of something. So Agni Shikha means the flame of fire, like a candle flame, you can say, but inside of a pot. It doesn't really say in the verse here, Ruddha means covered, but it doesn't say what it's covered by. Sridhar Swami says it's covered by a pot. He suggests that, Ghadadi. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes it a step further. He says it's like a small flame or even a fire within a house, covered by the walls of a house. What does he say here? Grihe ruddha nagaram na prakashayati kintu grihasthita vastu eva. It only illumines, it doesn't illumine the entire village, it only illumines those things which are within the house, or those two, three people which are within the house. So that's what we're talking about here. And Devaki was like that. Or another example is given here. Saraswati Gyanakale. Saraswati means the goddess of learning, speech. Why? Why Saraswati? What does Saraswati, what does it mean? Sarasvat, to possess Saras. Saras means, anybody know? It means a body of water, actually. A flowing river, especially. So Saraswati, why is the goddess of speech, or the goddess of learning, or the goddess of eloquence considered to be like a flowing? Because speech flows. Eloquent speech flows like a river. So this is Saraswati. Gyanakale, but Gyanakala, in a person who is Gyanakala. What does kala mean? Kala means a rascal. Or this, all the acharyas, invariably, they've said, Gyana kale means Gyana vanchika. Vanchika. What does vanchika mean? There are two kinds of persons in this world. One is vanchika, the person who's cheating. And the other kind of person is vanchita, the person who is cheated. So, in a person who's cheating knowledge, Saraswati also cannot shine. Yathasati. This is the idea. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he kind of embodies the essence of what all his predecessors, beginning with Sridhar Swami, of course, have written about this verse. He says, Prakrita aprakrita sarva jagannivasasya shri harehe nivasa rupa sati api. Even though Devaki had become virtually the abode of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, who is himself the residence of the entire cosmic manifestation, both manifest and unmanifest. That, just like Mahavishnu, right? The unmanifested pradhan comes from him, no? Everything comes from him. So, sarva janasya hladakataya narejye. That, she could not really shine. Reje means she didn't shine so much. Or at least she could not shine so as to give pleasure to others. Kintu, she was only able to shine for those few people who were in her association. Vasudeva, maybe they imprisoned some servants of theirs as well. Just 2-3 people, he says, were in the prison house. Or Sridhar Swami himself, he says, actually only within herself she was able to shine. He didn't even admit that much. So she was able to shine within her prison cell. That much only. Yataha, because kamsasya grehe ruddha agnishikhai veti sa yatha grehe ruddha nagaram na prakashayati kintu grihasthita vastushu eva. We've already read this. Just as the flame within a house cannot shine throughout the village, it only illumines things within the house or people within the house. So only those few people around her, they were able to take benefit from the flame, so to speak. How do we benefit from fire? Shitadi nashika. It destroys darkness, it destroys cold. On a cold day, you like to put your hands on the key lamp. You see? So, ityartha. Now he says, yatacha sa prabala sati rodhakasya griham dahati. Just as if that fire becomes very strong or intense, it can burn down whatever is obstructing it. A fire can burn down a house if you let it go uncontrolled. So a house covers a flame and you can't see it from outside, but you can burn down that house if the flame becomes intense. So he says, just in that same way, so tathaiva devaki api kamsasya aishwaryam dhakshyati. Devaki would gradually destroy all the opulence of Kamsa. And the analogy is continued. Jnana kale jnanavanchake ruddha Saraswati. When Saraswati is checked, because she's within a person who is a cheater, then what happens? The first thing that happens is that Saraswati cannot shine in the same way that Devaki was not able to shine within the prison house of Kamsa. So, sarva loka anukarini sati yatha narajate. Knowledge cannot really help anybody if it's coming from a person who is a cheater. Papati shayena, because he's full of sin. Now, one of the sub-commentators on Sridhar Swami has written, what does this actually mean? What is a jnanavanchaka? He said there are three kinds, jnanavanchakas, persons who are either cheating with knowledge or persons who are cheaters of knowledge, either way you want to interpret it. The first thing is that the person has knowledge, but he doesn't share it with another person. This is the first thing that Sridhar Swami says, and others as well. That's the main thing. It's actually sinful to not share what you learn. Or as Prabhupada used to say, if you have whatever knowledge you have but do not share it with others, it makes you envious, or rather it demonstrates that you're already envious because you're not sharing it. But at the same time, you have to be careful not to be overzealous about sharing knowledge if your knowledge is incomplete. That's also stated by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto. He says, if a person is, well, on the basis of incomplete realizations, people are constantly arguing with one another and trying to defeat one another, but actually they're all an illusion, Krishna says. None of them realize that they've already turned away from me, because they're lacking in humility. So the first thing is a person who has knowledge but doesn't share it. That person is a cheater. Prabhupada said, if you know something but don't teach to others, you will necessarily become envious. The second thing, Jnanavanchika means. A person has knowledge but doesn't apply it. I think it's, someone says that that person has knowledge, he learns things, he's able to repeat things even, but he doesn't apply any of it. Not even in his dream does he touch on the topics of dharma that he talks to others about. You see? So this person is also a cheetah. In other words, he's a hypocrite. Dharma, jnana vanchika, jnana kala. And then the third kind of cheater here is a person who has knowledge, but he becomes proud of it. He has knowledge. He's applying that knowledge, but he's very proud. And he looks down on everyone else. This is the great disease of sattva-guna. It conditions you to a sense of awareness, first of all, and also happiness, secondly, because happiness only comes from developed awareness. If you're not conscious, then you cannot be happy also. So a brahmana, or a person who is in sattva-guna, he has these characteristics. But they tend to become proud and complacent. This is the greatest weakness that Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita of the mode of goodness. So this person is also a cheater. Even though he's not a hypocrite, even though he is preaching, but he's proud. So which one of these applies to us? Think about it. We're supposed to think about these things. Very nicely dissected here by, his name is Vamsidhara, one of Sridhar Swami's early commentators. Okay, so we're going to unpack this now. Jnana kale jnana vanchake ruddha sarasvati sarva lokanu karani sati yatha narajate cannot shine so well in trying to do good to others. This kind of Saraswati. In a vehicle or in a conveyance that is not adequate. It's like when I was in Seattle, I used to preach to a lot of IT professionals. So I used to tell them, you know, you actually have the system requirements to run this software. If you don't have the system requirements to run the software, then it's going to come out weird. So to be a fully developed human being, and fully educated and cultured and civilized human being means to be situated in dharma, which also means to be situated in sattva-guna. That kind of person can actually do some good for others. To the extent that we're not on that platform, to that extent, we will also do some good to others, but it will be very limited. How much has Krishna consciousness spread in the last 40 years? Very much. Very much. Very much. How much of the world's population is now Krishna conscious? Not so much. So therefore, I suggested that we think about these three categories. But he goes on to say, just as the Saraswati cannot shine in such an individual or in such a group of individuals, we can say in a society perhaps, papati shayena swarodhakam nakalena chakalena yatha nashayati. Eventually, in time, because of sinful activities, that will be destroyed. That impediment will be destroyed. How does this happen? What are we talking about here? There's a few ways to interpret this. One way is that all these three categories of jnanavanchika or jnanakalas, they're all not only papis, they're not only sinners, but they're atishaya papis. They're excessively sinful. It's considered here, if you take this interpretation, it's excessively sinful to have knowledge and not share it. It's excessively sinful to have knowledge but not practice it. And it's excessively sinful to have knowledge but to become proud of it. That's one way to see it. Another way to see it is that kalena swarodhakam nashayati papati shayena. That knowledge will itself destroy the impediment in the same way that we've already mentioned. A house can be burnt down by a fire that becomes very strong. You see? And Krishna mentions this in Bhagavad Gita as well. But what kind of knowledge are we talking about? What kind of knowledge has the potency to do this? It's not ordinary knowledge. It's not even spiritual knowledge in terms of parrot-like repetition, or book knowledge, as we say. Krishna mentions a couple of things in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Api ched asi papebhya sarvebhya papa krittamaha sarvam jnana plavenayava vrishanam santarishyasi. Even if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sinful persons, if you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, then you will also be delivered. How does that happen? Yathai dhangsi samigdhognir bhasmasat kurate arjuna jnanagni sarvakarnamani bhasmasat kurate tatha. Just as fire burns up firewood and turns it into ashes, similarly, knowledge burns up all sorts of sinful consciousness or sinful tendencies or sinful actions or reactions, and it turns it to ashes. Knowledge. But what kind of knowledge are we talking about? The context. Remember, we were talking about context. The context in which this verse appears is chapter 4, text 37 and 38. And it's following from this. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. We all know this verse, famous verse. If you want to learn the absolute truth, you have to submissively approach a spiritual master and humbly hear. Be ready to hear something, to learn something. And be ready to serve. Pariprasnena and sevaya. Being initiated in this way, the jnanis, because they've seen the truth, they can share knowledge with you. Yad gyatva na punarmoham evam yasisi parnava yena bhutanya cheshena drakshasyatmanyathomai. These are the verses in which we're talking about knowledge that we receive from a bona fide spiritual master, just like the knowledge that we've received from Srila Prabhupada. So that knowledge, it's going to burn any impediment. It's going to happen. But how does it happen? It happens in two ways. Number one, well, the best way to put this is the way that Ramapada Swami put it a few years ago. I saw him give a seminar on the teachings of Kapila Dev from the third canto. And he was talking about material attachments. He said, Bhakti Devi is of such potency that she destroys all anarthas. So, either your anarthas or your sins will be destroyed through the potency of Saraswati or Bhakti Devi, because they're actually the same person. Both of them are wives of Lord Vishnu. Ramavani Ramas Puramalabanke Ruhamakaha Jagannatha Sami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. Rama is Lakshmi Devi and Vani is another name of Saraswati. They're both the consorts of Lord Jagannath, Vishnu. So, if we cling to our anarthas and do not renounce them, then when the anartha is destroyed, we will be destroyed along with the anartha. Or rather, the way he put it, the anartha will be removed from your heart, and if you're clinging to the anartha, then you will also be removed with it. Or, if you're clinging to the knowledge instead, then when the anartha is destroyed, you're still clinging to knowledge and you'll be fine. You see? Either way, the situation of Ruddha Saraswati, Saraswati being checked by some external covering, it will not remain. So this happens on an individual level. That's called Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. By hearing every single day, in the association of devotees from the bona fide spiritual master, all that is troublesome to the heart, all these inauspicious things, all the sins, all the ignorance, etc., etc., pride, hypocrisy, miserliness, it's all destroyed. In exactly the same way that the house can be destroyed by a fire that becomes prabala, very strong. So in this way, papati shayena swarodhakam chakalena yatha nashayati tathaiva swaparadhena kamsapi kamsamapi devaki nashayati iti arthah. The idea here, he says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, is that In exactly that way, because of Kamsa's aparadhas, Devaki would eventually destroy him. Devaki. Why Devaki instead of Devaki Nandan? Because the Lord is in her heart at the moment. Even though she's not shining so much, the few people around her can see. And exactly in the same way that the Krishna consciousness movement is not shining so much in the modern world. But it's there. The potency is there. You see? So this is beautiful poetry of the Bhagavatam. Not so much in the language as much as in the figures, the metaphors and similes that are used here. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada says, and let us also see if we can recognize where he's getting it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Jnanakala is most significant. So right at the very beginning, Prabhupada zeroes in on this point. Jnanakala. Those who are listening keenly, they recall what does it mean? The person who's cheating with knowledge. Either he's withholding it, or he's not practicing it, or he's proud of it. So, knowledge is meant for distribution. So this is coming from Sridhar Swami. All of them, actually. Although there's already much scientific knowledge, whenever scientists or philosophers awaken to a particular type of knowledge, they try to distribute it throughout the world. For otherwise, the knowledge gradually dries up, and no one benefits from it. Just like if they find a cure for cancer, or if they find a cure for AIDS, or any of these other maladies in the modern world, they're going to try and share it. This is what he's saying. Now, he's zeroing in on the Jnanavanshikas. India has the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, for some reason or other, this sublime knowledge of the science of God was not distributed throughout the world, although it is meant for all of human society. So they were withholding it. That's the implication here. Or they were incapable of sharing it. Whatever, however you want to see. Therefore, Krishna himself appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ordered all Indians to take up the cause of distributing the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world. Jare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amaragnyai guru hai tare desh. That means, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. End quote. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, Chapter 7, Text 128. Prabhupada continues, although India has the sublime knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, present tense, India has this, not past tense, present tense. That means we can learn something if we're submissive. Although India has this knowledge, Indians have not done their proper duty of distributing it because they're all studying engineering or IT. Now, therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement has been set up to distribute this knowledge as it is, without distortion. Now, remember, for the third time, I'm going to remind you, context is everything. What is the context now? When was this purport written? Was it written now? Or was it written nearly half a century ago? Think about it. Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with mundane knowledge. But now, the Krishna consciousness movement, without mundane compromises, is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is. And people are deriving the benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the proper distribution of knowledge has begun. by which not only will the whole world benefit, this is, he's again paraphrasing our acharyas, sarvasya janahladaka, the word is used to enliven all living beings, or lokanu karani, to do good for others. This is what Prabhupada is referring to from Sridhar Swami and others. But India's glory will be magnified in human society as well. Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness within his house, Bhojendra Gehe, with the result that Kamsa, with all his opulences, was later vanquished. Here he's paraphrasing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as those who are listening carefully will recall. Similarly, the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was being choked by unscrupulous Indian leaders, with the result that India's culture and knowledge of the Supreme were being lost. Now, however, because Krishna consciousness is spreading, the proper use of Bhagavad Gita is being attempted. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Does anyone have any questions or any comments on any of this? We have a very characteristic purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It's not hard to... It was never hard to guess which one of these meanings of Gyanavanchika Srila Prabhupada would dilate on, but it seems he favors Sridhar Swami's interpretation that it's a person who doesn't share knowledge. We are meant to distribute this knowledge. Jare dekhe tare kaha. Whoever you see, you have to do something. If not speak to him, you have to somehow benefit that person. That's the real sign of knowledge. That is the application of knowledge. That's the humble reception of knowledge. You have a
thank you, Prabhu.
Comment?
That was, nice presentation. At one point you were mentioning that we have been successful distributing much knowledge, but how many people are Krishna conscious? Not so much. So I'm just attempting to see, is there any thought that you can give in this regards to see where does the fall, what is the lacking there? Because something come in my mind too, that I heard in Mayapur one devotee was giving a presentation, a nice class, and at one point he did mention, he said, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, he said that, Prabhupada himself, he said, I get too much prachar, a lot of preaching, but not too much achar.
Mm.
And then I thought, wait a minute, don't we have, this is what I was thinking, the Krishna consciousness movement is such a way, arranged in such a way that you can get prachar. In which way was he mentioning that? Because just like you mentioned that verse, Nasta prayesu abadresu nityam bhagavata seva, yeah, if you come, automatically you will get the prachar. Mm. But Prabhupada said that, I don't know.
Well, I would have to review the context of that statement, of course. I think that's the fourth time in one lecture that context has become significant. You know, we always want to, before we make any comment on it, especially if it's from a conversation or something contextual like that, you know, we want to see what he's saying. But in general, one thing I can say is that Srila Prabhupada was very concerned and increasingly concerned in the last few years of his physical presence amongst us, that he wanted to establish the culture of Krishna consciousness, because you cannot divorce an ideology from its culture, because culture is the social manifestation of personality. And specifically, the culture that Prabhupada was concerned about is called Sanatan Dharma, or Varnashram Dharma. It's far more comprehensive than we tend to assume. It governs our every waking moment and all the activities of our day. And in fact, it governs the way we eat, the way we sleep, the way we mate, the way we defend, the way that we dress, the way that everything is actually determined to a large extent by our society. And if we fall into one of these three categories of Jnanavanchakas or Jnanakalas, it may be because we're actually infected by the association that we have. Because we know from Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, your desires arise not out of thin air, but out of the association that you embrace. So to the extent that we have not followed Rupa Goswami's advice in Upadeshamrita to give up bad association, means non-devotional association, both impersonal and personal association, to that extent we will find ourselves in this category. And we may find that our effectiveness in sharing Saraswati or Vani, the Gauravani in our case, it's going to be limited in exactly the same way that a flame is not appreciable to the village if it's covered by walls. So we put these walls around ourselves by the association that we keep. So Varnashram is actually meant to break those walls, because one cannot cultivate material desires, especially sinful life, very easily in a society that doesn't endorse it. And this is one reason why the Krishna consciousness movement cannot demonstrate something more tangible after nearly half a century to Srila Prabhupada regarding his instructions to implement Varnashram within ISKCON. We like sinful activities. We prefer it this way. Simple as that. Does that sound too harsh? That's one suggestion. There are many other answers, of course. It's not an exclusive thing, but that's one thing that I can say. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes, please. There's a microphone somewhere. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
I was, you had mentioned something about context, about like Prabhupada had written it half a century ago. And so I was thinking that, you know, context meaning like we still study the Bhagavad Gita, even though Krishna spoke it 5,000 years ago, that isn't it like for all time that this is important, the instructions are?
Well, the instructions in general are eternal, that's a fact. But Srila Prabhupada is making a very specific observation that the Krishna consciousness movement is distributing knowledge without distortion throughout the world. And we should not ignore the fact that this was not written in 2016. It was written in around 1963 or something like that. You see? So we have to consider. We always have to consider like this. Everything is contextual. Is that okay? Okay. Well, if Prabhupada is making a statement about ISKCON in 1960, whenever he wrote this, well, we're on the 10th canto now, sorry, so this would have been 1976, 1977. That makes better sense. So Prabhupada is making a very specific statement about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness movement at that time. He's not talking about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in 2016, period. That's what we have to recognize. It has nothing to do with the validity of the instruction that he's giving or the general message of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's not what it's about. It's an observation about the society at that time. It's necessarily contextual. It's necessarily limited to the time in which it was spoken. In the same way that Srila Prabhupada's letters or his conversational statements, in the same way that Prabhupada's letters or his statements and conversations are limited to the context and the audience to which they were spoken. He's making a very general statement about the success of ISKCON and about his hopes for ISKCON at that time. It cannot possibly be valid for all time. Yes, that will help. He says, " Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with mundane knowledge. But now, the Krishna consciousness movement, without mundane compromises, is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are deriving the benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. What I'm trying to raise awareness to is the fact that it's always possible that this can no longer be true. And we should be very vigilant like that. Because we are the persons who are holding Saraswati. We've been given this Vani. What are we doing with it? How well are we performing? What have we got to show Srila Prabhupada? Is there any room for improvement, or are we absolutely perfect? If we're not absolutely perfect, then it's just a question of what improvement has to be made. We're not talking about Prabhupada, and we're not talking about his words in general. We're talking about ourselves. That's my point. Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Thank you very much. All glories to the Prabhupada.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.